If you remember, we had some winter weather, and it started early in the season. Last December, we actually had to cancel a service because of winter weather, and I was supposed to preach a sermon that morning on Isaiah about the everlasting Father. The scripture that morning was, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Well, I did not get to preach that sermon. Well, I thought I would put it in my file for next Advent, but I had another idea. In fact, I even mentioned it the Sunday after the storm. I'm just going to preach this sermon on Father's Day. You remember that now, right? So that's what I'm doing. How can a child be a father? How in the world could Isaiah talk about a child being a father? Of all the titles that was given to the Christ child, this is one of the most confusing to people because they thought a newborn just cannot be a father. It's a stumbling block for some people to try to grasp this. And I don't think it's a stumbling block for you, for me, because we are now on a different place. We understand God's eternal nature, and it's a wonderful reminder that he is an everlasting father. So I want to look at those words today, that title for God's son. And I want to look first at the word everlasting. Now, Elizabeth and I used to live in Cincinnati, Ohio. And in Cincinnati, Ohio, we formed some of the best and most lasting friendships I think we've ever had in our married lives. In fact, I think some of the people in our lives in Cincinnati were closer to us than our family members and have remained so all these years. For Elizabeth, I think the name that would come to her mind is probably Norma. The name that would come to my mind is Rob. The name that would come to our minds together is probably Larry and Ellen. And these friends were, as I say, closer than family. Well, we moved to Maryland. My job brought me here, and we've tried to keep in touch with these special friends all these years. It's been about 30 years since we were here, and you can guess what's happened. We haven't heard from them as much as we used to. We're not in touch as much as we thought we would be. We thought it would last forever. And it works both ways. They haven't heard from us as much as we used to be in touch with them. That feeling of a relationship that will just never die, well, it's wilting. It needs to be watered and fertilized, and it needs to be helped along a little bit. It used to be an ocean of joy, those friendships, and now it's just a lake instead of an ocean. But at least it's still there. Has something like that ever happened to you? Have you ever had a relationship that's gone maybe distant geographically and then it died off? Or maybe it wasn't geographic. Maybe it was right around the corner, but it just kind of withered. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was one of your children. They left home and they left the relationship with you, and it's never been the same. You thought it would never change, but it did. Well, here's something that's absolutely wonderful about God. He is everlasting. Hallelujah. He is everlasting, an ocean of joy. His relationships with us never fade unless you move away. And then something might occur. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. God is not only everlasting, but he has filled his word with promises that are everlasting. His everlasting covenant, his everlasting arms, his everlasting joy. His everlasting gift of everlasting life that the choir sang about. Everlasting, everlasting, everlasting life. How long is everlasting? Our finite minds can try to attempt to define everlasting, but you know we can't do it. It's eternal. It has no beginning. It has no ending. I know that some people in here believe that that's the definition of a sermon, has no ending. But believe me, a sermon has a beginning and an ending, but God does not. God is everlasting. Let's draw an imaginary line. I'm going to start in that corner, and I'm going to draw the line all the way across over here to this corner. And now I'm going to keep that line going around to the next corner, and then behind you in the room, there's another corner. It comes back and it meets here. I've now drawn a line all the way around this room, and the line connects, and it has no beginning and no ending. It's eternal. It's like a ring. That is a feeble way of trying to describe what everlasting is. Our word, everlasting, isn't enough. And God gave us some other terms in the Bible to try to help us. Listen to these. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 36. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, praise the Lord. 1 Chronicles 29, 10. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. That was one way of the writer giving us an exclamation point to describe to us how big and vast and wonderful everlasting is. Now, most of us have gotten married, and most of us have had vows in front of God and witnesses, and in it we said, till death do us part. God has no such clause in his covenant with us, because death is just the beginning of everlasting. Isn't that wonderful? Back to the Christ child. Do you think that when the people saw that baby and they were gazing into that manger, that they thought they were seeing the beginning of a life? They did not understand that he pre-existed that manger. He was there from the beginning of time. We know that. But they couldn't comprehend that. Then Jesus grew into a man. And he began to teach and he began to preach. And some of the things he said were stumbling blocks for people. For instance, John 8, verse 58, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. Oy vey, how dare he? How dare he use the words that were sacred to them from the burning bush? That's another title for Yahweh. I am that I am. In the next verse it says, At this they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Now that's a dramatic story in and of itself, but you know what's even more dramatic? It happened on the temple grounds. Why is that important? That was where they had come to worship. That's like the church today. Suppose Jesus Christ were to come into the church today and say, I am that I am. I am everlasting. Some people might pick up stones. They might not be literal stones, but they might be political words like, this guy is nuts. Let's cast him out of our church. This doesn't fit our rules of order. Oh, there are a lot of churches who have cast Jesus out. We're not one of them, praise God, and we never will be. They did this because he was saying that he was everlasting, because he equated himself with the God of Moses. And I wonder how much understanding that Isaiah himself had when he called that baby everlasting. Now, during his ministry, Jesus started teaching and caring for people. as a good father should. He invited the children to come to him, as a good father should. He nurtured the sick, as a good father should. He prayed for them, as a good father should. He made himself available to them, as a good father should. He corrected them, as a good father should. He was firm and strong, yet he was loving, as a good father should be. In John 14, he told them about heaven, and he said, "I'm going there to prepare a place for you." He was thinking ahead, as a good father should. And he was planning for them and providing for them as a good father should. I know some of you are thinking, did I do that? Oh, check that one off. Oh, I messed up on that one. Years ago, I was talking to a father about his son. And he told me, his son was in high school, and he told me this story about his son. This is just 1 week of that boy's busy life. He said that on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, for those 3 consecutive days, his son went to the church after school to help the sound technician install new sound equipment. How does that sound, RB? Yeah, I bet you did that too. Mm-hmm. You did, right? I bet. I knew it. And after he finished helping install the sound equipment, he went to the final rehearsals for the Christmas pageant that was to take place that week because he was singing in the choir. And not only was he singing in the choir, he was singing some solos in the presentation, extra rehearsals. Each of those 3 nights after he came back home, he had to do his homework, and he was up until at least midnight. And then on Thursday and Friday nights of that week, he sang in the Christmas pageant. And on Saturday, he played in a piano recital. And after the piano recital, on that same night, they had the final presentation of the church Christmas pageant. And then on Sunday morning, he came early because he sang in the church choir. And that afternoon, his youth group took food to the homeless. And then they had dinner at the church together. And then Monday morning rolled around. And the father said, on Monday morning, his son came walking into the bedroom carrying his books. And he said, "Dad, may I please stay home from school today? I am so tired, I am about to cry." And this dad said, "You have to understand, my wife and I never let our children stay home from school unless they were really sick. But I looked at her and she looked at me and I went over to him and I put my arm around him and I said, 'Son, yes, you may stay home today.' And he said, then I just took him into my arms and he laid his head on my shoulder and he started shaking and sobbing and was so relieved to have a break from that schedule. That was a very tender, fatherly thing to do, and it was a tender moment, and I'm sure that they remembered it for a long time. But there are several things about that story that I want to talk about. First of all, when you are so stressed that you are about to cry, you have an everlasting Father who is willing to forgive you and take you in his arms and let you cry. Go to him as a good child should. But let's think about some other aspects of that story. That boy was a high achiever, but I think he was overcommitted. And I don't think he was the one that should take the blame for being overcommitted completely. I think his parents had something to do with that as well. And I'll bet you anything, that boy grew up to be an overachiever for the rest of his life because that was the way he was raised. And I'm guessing that he was always living his life on the edge, because he was such an overachiever, having to do it all. And I also suspect that there are overachievers sitting in this room right now. Maybe you've retired from your overachieving, but I'll bet you anything that there are people here who are living their lives on the edge, and you're thinking, how can I possibly do all this? There's not enough time in the day, in the week, in my life. I'm overcommitted. You need your Heavenly Father's hug. You may need your Heavenly Father's correction and guidance and some healing. And if you're too busy to hug Jesus, repent. Take the time. I'm sure you're familiar with all the devastating forest fires that take place out west, particularly, and the terrible destruction, loss of homes and lives. I heard a story about a fireman who fought in one of those terrible blazes. And after they had gotten it under control, and they were cleaning up, he was walking along a road, and he saw a big, dark lump in the road. And he wondered what it was, and he went over to it and discovered that it was a dead, burned bird. Half of its body completely burned, just lying there. And he thought, this bird must have been sick. It could have flown out of here. Why did it not fly? I'll get it out of the road. He kicked this lump off to the side of the road, and then he was so startled because underneath were four baby birds. And that mother bird had stayed there and protected those babies as a good mother should. God is described in the Bible as one who sacrificed everything for me and for you, as a perfect father, and only a perfect father can do. That reminded me of some scriptures. The first is from the Old Testament. It's Psalm 91, beginning in verse 3. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. And the second is from the New Testament. It's Matthew 23, verse 37. Jesus is saying, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who have killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. Over and over in the Bible, our Heavenly Father is described with masculine and feminine traits. He is a loving, protective parent, father and mother to us. And we're the beneficiaries of all of that. We're the recipients of all of that love and all of that protection and all of those gifts. All those all-encompassing and noble, wonderful traits of God. Scott Wesley Brown is a Christian songwriter. He's one of my favorite Christian songwriters. He writes compelling lyrics, compelling songs. And one of them beautifully describes our everlasting Father. It's called He Will Carry You. I want you to listen to some of the words. There is no problem too big, He cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall, He cannot move it. There is no storm too dark, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep, He cannot soothe it. If He carried the weight of the world on His shoulders, I know, my brother, that He will carry you. If He carried the weight of the world on His shoulders, I know, my sister, He will carry you, your everlasting Father. I'd like to close with this. I love the Disney movie Finding Nemo. Anybody else like that movie? I just love that movie. It was released in the year 2003, and if you haven't seen it, you are depriving yourself. It's not just for children. It's a very special story, extremely well done. It's a story about a little fish named Nemo and his dad named Marlin. Marlin loved Nemo so much. He protected Nemo from all of the things that could go wrong. It was a perfect example of a father and a son who were best friends. But one day, Nemo disobeyed his dad. He went out beyond the reef into the dark ocean where he was not supposed to go. He was scooped up in a net by a diver, and he was taken away. He ended up in a fish tank in a dentist's office. Well, Marlin was desperate. He wanted to find Nemo. And that's the beginning of the story. A remarkable adventure of he would do anything, go anywhere to find his son, searching for his son. It's a remarkable adventure. And the word began to spread throughout the ocean to all the ocean creatures about Marlin, who was looking for Nemo. And pretty soon the message got back to Nemo that his dad was trying to find him, and Nemo took an amazing step of faith. He jumped out of the fish tank into a drain that went down into the sewer and fed back into the ocean, and eventually he was rescued by his father. It was an extremely happy ending to a story, awesome, joyful ending to the story. Brothers and sisters, you are like Nemo. You have disobeyed your heavenly Father. You have gone into the dark places that he said, don't go. And he has desperately trying to rescue you. So through a remarkable adventure, he came and he died. And he gave it all for you. He knew no boundaries. Even death on a cross, to bring you home. But here's the catch. You have to take a step of faith. You've got to jump out of your fish tank. Come to him, your everlasting Father. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you gave me the opportunity and that you are still giving me the privilege of being a father. And Lord, when I hear these words coming back at me, I ask your forgiveness for my failures. I thank you for the times that I got it right. I pray for my children and my grandchildren that they will know you as their everlasting Father. And Lord, I thank you that you have called us to take a step of faith and accept Jesus Christ as our perfect Savior and Lord, our everlasting Father. Thank you that we are forgiven sinners. And I pray that we will always come into your everlasting arms where we belong. In Jesus' name, amen.